From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Later this week in Seattle, hundreds of authors and agents and publishers are going to gather as part of the Pacific Northwest Writers Conference. But today on The Conversation, we're having our own discussion for writers, and we're asking the question, how do you get your book published? Every day. Okay, you wrote the book, but if you're not going to be photocopying it and passing it out to people, you're going to have to get someone to help you get some oomph to get it out there. We've got two people with extensive experience getting their own books out and helping others. Between them, they have 40 published books and some 40 years of experience. Actually, this might be dated. It might be more than 40 books now, right?
But we still look fantastic.
You still look fantastic. No aging going here. But lots of years in the business. They've helped others, and they do workshops on this. And Jennifer Warrick is an author and a publishing consultant and a public speaker. She's also behind the book I Want to Punch You in the Face. It's your blog and later a book. And also Carrie Colburn is with us, Seattle-based author and editor and columnist. Together, Jen and Carrie write the Business of Books blog. And you might have some questions. You might be able to call 206-543-5869 right now. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. And Jen, your book, Things I Want to Punch in the Face, is based on a blog that you write about stuff that annoys you, and like the lack of hooks in public bathrooms and desserts served in jars. So I'm wondering here, is there any lesson to be drawn from your success in getting this book published on two fronts? One is radio talk show hosts and politicians know that if you get people annoyed, they really get kind of fired up. So there's one kind of aspect there. When we do your worst job ever, people love to call up and talk about that. They love to rank on things. So that's one thing about this book that's interesting. And the other thing is that it started as a blog. So are either of those things you've learned or are attributes of this book something that someone could take home and bring part of their book project to?
Yeah, I could talk about Things I Want to Punch in the Face all day, but I think the relevant thing for your listeners today is that, you know, starting the blog really created a whole community, like you said, of malcontents around this topic. And in addition, I have, you know, a Twitter handle for it and a Facebook page for it, and really worked strategically to kind of build up a community before it became a book. And I think that's the one thing that Carrie and I with the Business of Books really try to impart, is the business aspect of things. More than ever, you have to be strategic about how you go about getting published, how you research the right publisher for your book so it doesn't die on the vine if it does get published, or rejected if you submit it, and giving everybody all of the tools. It always used to seem very mysterious, and there's so much content out there. Publishers are posting submission guidelines on their websites, and there's so many great conferences and resources out here in the Northwest for people to take advantage of to really learn more about publishing and have their best shot at getting published.
Well, also folks who use a blog as kind of a test bed to see if there's a lot of interest in this, and it certainly also makes it more plausible to a publisher if you show the blog has a lot of followers on it. Was this the first one you tried out as a blog, or did you like try two or three and this one really caught on? Or?
Well, you know, that's a good point. One of my previous books, The Prairie Girl's Guide to Life, I started a blog after the book had gone to the publisher. So before it had been published, I kind of started doing my publicity thing. And we always have to fill out these really long author questionnaires. And as part of that, I started doing marketing efforts like a couple months in advance of the book publishing. These days, I think from the very inception of the idea, you really have to start thinking about how you're going to reach your audience effectively. You really need to be able to bring that to the table and convey that to the publisher when they're acquiring your book.
And Carrie, maybe you can give an example of one of the books that you published or helped someone get published. What were the really good things that worked out on that in concept that could be applied to another person's idea for a book?
Well, I wrote a book called How to Have Your Second Child First, which was a parenting book. And no one likes to give advice more than parents. So that was a perfect example of one that really made sense as a blog. It then turned in to a column for Seattle's Child. And I offered myself up as an expert and a Q&A participant in various parenting websites and blogs and radio shows. And really, for anybody who's got a topic where people will want to weigh in and offer their experience, if you can show the publisher that not only do you maybe have your own blog, but you are the perfect person to talk on the radio or to be on TV or to participate in other popular websites, you're showing them that you have outreach potential. And that is becoming more and more important. You don't have to have this huge platform that people worry about. It's great if you do, don't get me wrong. But if you don't have a huge platform, if you can still show the publisher, I'm involved in this community and I know how to reach the potential book buyers that might be interested in my topic.
So you're already out there and you're kind of preceding the audience for this book that might come. If you just tuned in, we're talking about that book you've got in your drawer that you've always wanted to publish. And with us, a couple of people who've done a lot of that on their own and with others, Jen Warwick and Carrie Colburn. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW or toll free 800-289-5869 or drop us a line. It's conversation at KUOW.org. Sarah wrote to us, and she said, publishers say on their submission areas that they can use your book idea with a different writer. So Sarah wants to know, how much risk is there of having your book idea copied and approaching a publisher? And I never thought of that, but if you're going to come up with this unique, wonderful idea, and a publisher's going to go, got it, so long, and maybe bring it to someone else they've worked with, can that happen?
I would say that we get this question in probably every one of the workshops we ever do because people are very proprietary about their ideas, and they should be. I'm surprised to hear that the publisher would say that specifically on their submission guidelines. I think maybe what they're meaning is good ideas are out there, you know, and I think a lot of authors feel like they've pitched a book and it got rejected and maybe 6 months later a similar book comes out and they believe – that was my idea.
Well, if it was by the same publisher, you might have that suspicion.
Yeah. I think a legitimate publisher with a legitimate track record in the industry has no interest in taking your specific idea that you are the right person to write and going and hunting down another writer for it. But I think you do have to be aware that good ideas are kind of in the ether. And if you pitch something, it doesn't mean that there aren't other authors pitching similar topics.
And this kind of gets back to research. And we've talked about this before, and I think it's a really important point to make when you're thinking about maybe even before you start writing the book. And I know that you're both big on this, Jen, is like finding out, did someone else already write this book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it used to be that thinking about researching your book idea and the market, that all seemed kind of at odds with sitting and writing your book and having kind of the writerly experience. And these days, I don't think those things are mutually exclusive at all. We really propose that people work on both of those things simultaneously because I think your research will inform and focus your idea more because you're going to become more, even more of a content expert and an expert on your audience. And so we really advise that you get to know as much as you can about your topic. Even if you're writing a novel, there are going to be themes or things that you're touching upon that you can easily start researching and getting kind of much more familiar with. And then as far as the publisher or the agent you might want to approach, there are tons of publishers out there. I think the idea is that there's the 49 very large publishers, and then those are what people like to shoot for. But there's like 33,000 plus small publishers who published less than 100 books that are, you know, might be a perfect place for you. So as you're looking at competing titles or books that might be similar to yours that are on the shelves already, it's probably a good idea to note who's publishing those books. And you can start kind of developing a wish list of publishers that might be spot on for your book idea as well.
Rebecca, along that lines, Rebecca wrote and asked, is self-publishing the way forward? And I think there have been some spectacular success stories of people who have self-published and gone on to have their books picked up. But is that a way to take a look at going, Carrie? What do you think?
Well, self-publishing is definitely a viable option. The stigma around self-publishing from a few years ago has fallen away by and large. I think what people have to know is if they plan to self-publish, it really does require a support team. You know, just like you would with a traditional publisher, you'd get an editor and a designer and a publicist assigned to your book. If you're going to self-publish, you need to have the resources and the time and the energy to gather those professionals to make sure your book is as good as it can be. And I think the other thing for self-publishers to remember is that, you know, you shouldn't self-publish as a way to get a traditional book deal. You know, we spend a lot of time talking with editors and agents in New York in our business, And that's one thing that we hear. Self-publishing doesn't mean you can't then switch and get a traditional publisher or that a traditional publisher might not pick you up. But what they don't like to see is, hey, I just self-published my book yesterday and I thought you might want to represent it. That's really not something that is
Why is that a turnoff? Why is that a
I think one thing that happens is that you kind of cannibalize the market for it. You've already sold to the people who are going to buy the book, and then the publisher is left to try and sell to everybody else. You know, you've sold it to your friends and coworkers and your community and probably set up signings at your local bookshop, which is what your publisher would want you to be doing if they published it.
So you've taken
on behalf
some
of the book they publish rather than yourself. We're talking with Jen and Carrie about publishing a book, 206-543-5869. Maybe you've successfully done it. Maybe you just have some questions about how to do it. 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869, or drop us a line. It's conversation at KUOW.org. Priscilla is on the line calling from Auburn. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi.
Says here, Tugboat Captain Letters book. What's that?
Yeah, I bought a house, and up in the attic there was a big box of about 700 letters that this guy wrote to his girlfriend and later his wife. He was a tugboat captain during the Second World War and for a couple of years after. And he told about his experiences up and down the coast of Alaska during the war.
Carrie is visibly tingling as soon as you said that idea.
I'm intrigued by this cache of letters. I love that. That sounds like a great query letter that you could pitch to a publisher and talk about discovering them.
It's everyone, a good meet cute.
Yes, I can see a Sandra Bullock movie.
Priscilla, is there one of those letters or a part of one of those letters that really kind of sticks in your mind that it made you think about making this into a book?
Well, he talks about, you know, his struggles getting a barge that had wrecked. It was full of beer for the troops. And his men went over there, and instead of getting the barge off the reef, they proceeded to get drunk. another time, one thing that interested me was that, I don't know if you were aware that the Japanese had invaded some islands in the Aleutians.
Right. There were some attacks on islands in the Aleutians in World War II, a kind of a little-known sidelight of the war. Yeah.
Yeah. And they took all the native inhabitants, all the Indians who lived on that island, to Japan.
Really?
And about 75% of them died in Japan. And after the war,
Have you checked out that story, Priscilla, to see if it's true?
Oh, yeah, I've researched it.
Oh, it actually happened.
Yeah.
Wow, I hear another book right there.
She's doing her research.
I know. So I think, you know, the thing for you to consider is, do the letters in and of themselves form a complete book, or would you or a ghostwriter need to put these letters together into a narrative?
Yeah, I've been typing them. I'm about 80% of the way through typing them. And, my biggest question really is, he's writing to his girlfriend, who's later his wife, and there's so much personal information in there. You know, there may be some people, you know, voyeur types who would love to hear all this.
Well, Priscilla, that's a really good question. But then there's also maybybe that's an ethical question. Maybe there's also a legal question about, can you publish this guy's letters? I mean, do you have the right to take something that he wrote and get them in a book and put it out and sell it on your behalf? What about that, Jen?
I would think that would be a question for like an intellectual property attorney. And it may be, I actually had a friend who I think was kind of developing a novel based on something she had found at a flea market. And, you know, you want to try and track those people down and see what happened to them. Maybe they're no longer with us, but they're relatives or...
Also, I think, would protect you. But it sounds like, Priscilla, you're talking about actually publishing these letters. Have you made any effort to get in touch with the family of the tugboat captain?
Well, I bought it from the house where I found the letters. I bought it from his daughter, who now lives in Australia. And she told me there was a box of letters up there and to please throw them away. And so that, you know, does...
Yeah.
I would get some legal counsel.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a great
book idea.
Yeah, they're loving the book idea, but you might want to check out whether that person in Australia or wherever might come back when this book becomes successful and go, hey, that's my dad. You know, I would check that out, Priscilla. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Richard, who's listening on Vashon today. We're talking about how to get your book published with Jennifer Warrick and Carrie Colburn. Richard, thanks a lot for giving us a call today. What'd you like to add?
Oh, thank you. I'd like to ask, I've self-published my novel, West of Spencer, about fishing in Alaska, and I've gone through a lot of the tactics that you were talking about a little while, reading at local bookstore, big email blast, getting friends and acquaintances and people in the nautical industry around here to take a look and buy the book, and now I seem to be hitting a wall, and I'm thinking about a publicist. I know other people that have hired publicists and have had the experience of nothing happening except the money flowing to the publicist.
Right. So you want to know how to pick a good publicist.
Exactly.
What's your advice?
Well, we've both worked with freelance publicists and publicists with the publishing house. I think probably having, you know, like in our classes, we teach on how to develop a whole marketing plan and have like a really nice, robust bullet list of things. And if you have an idea before you approach somebody, you could maybe ask them what they would be bringing to the table or what kind of context they would have. I think for something like, you know, fishing in Alaska, that's going to be a whole different kind of contact list than somebody who, you know, approaches women's magazines regularly. That's on a more women-friendly topic. So you want to find a good pairing with somebody who regularly would know how to get to the right outlet.
So at least are they working in the area that your book is in? But another question I have would be, how do you find out what their track record is? I mean, maybe they've even worked in the area that Richard's book is, but how do you know they've done a good job in that area?
A good publicist should be able to provide you references and placements. You know, for this client, I got them on these shows, I got these, you know, these magazine articles placed, etc. And you should definitely ask for all of that up front. There is a local, locally based resource called Writerly, writer.ly, which is kind of a marketplace for authors to find editors, publicists, book designers, that kind of thing. So that might be a good place to start because those people are screened.
Well, there's a couple ideas for you, Richard. Make sure that the publicist publishes in the area of your book. And second of all, they should be able to convince you that they're able to do a good job with the book based on their track record. Thanks a lot for your phone call. And thanks once again, Jennifer Warrick and Carrie Colburn, for stopping by to tell us about how to get your book published. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Time always flies.
I know. Thanks for having us.
So quickly. David Hyde produces the conversation with Arwen Nix. We're getting production help from Allie Ferguson. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. I'm Ross Reynolds.